You are listening to a podcast of Ice and Fire, episode 211 for the week of January 15th, 2017. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, and occasionally Game of Thrones. As always,
this is Amin.
And this is Kyle. And it's just like a small guy's night out here, Amin.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to talk with us, so it's just us chilling tonight. Bros. Got a couple brewskis, and we'll talk football. And speaking of football, our fantasy football podcast league went well this year. I think we had 18 people, and we have a champion that will hopefully be joining us soon. So look forward to that. I got my ass kicked. I got destroyed in this league this year, but it was fun. It's always fun smack talking with everybody on the forums and stuff. Got any news for us, Amin?
Not a lot. I mean, I was always around this time of year, there's discussion about what's the state of winter. I mean, many people are complaining it's not out there, but I feel like there's, you kind of get into two states. Either you're going to be constantly complaining about it, or you're going to move into like a zen state where you're like, when it comes, it'll come. I've been in a zen state for a couple of years.
When it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
So he was, I don't even know what his blog, what his not a blog post was about, but then the news picked up on a comment he left on somebody else's comment.
Yeah.
Which was basically him saying like, oh, I don't like to talk about it, but, fine, if you really want it, here you go. I think it's going to be out this year, is what he said. And to me, it sounded very sassy, like, whatever. I'll just, like, sure, okay, you want to hear something? It'll be out this year. You happy? All right, later. Like, I wonder if he, yeah, that's the impression I got, where he was just like, whatever, I'll just say anything at this point. I don't know, maybe he really does think it's going to be out this year.
I feel like, unless he's in super... I mean, he's been in denial before when he thought he could finish it before the show. So he's been in a state of denial about it before, but unless he's in super denial...
Super denial?
He's always been the type of writer that just takes a long time, right? And he always misses deadlines. That's the way he is if you look at his history there. And I may be biased about it, but I defend him. I mean, I don't feel like we have a right to get... Some people feel like they have made a contract with him that they need to get a book by a certain time. No, you bought some previous books. He could quit the series if he wanted to. Be disappointing, but he could do that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, obviously, I don't want him to stop, but yeah, I feel the same way. Absolutely.
Yeah, I might put pen to paper sometime and actually write my viewpoints out there, put it out there. Because, I mean, there are people are writing about it a lot in the other direction. So I might want to put it this down, put it out there, and see.
I thought you were about to say you're going to start writing some fan fiction there.
No, my fan fictions are only oral.
So that's about the only book news we've had that I can think of. God, I wish there was more news about the books. It's going to be exciting when it pops up. It'll be kind of like Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I'll have to pen pal him a letter. Yo, George. Give me the inside info, buddy. And it'll be like, is that you, Dave?
No, Mike, I think.
Oh, it's Mike.
Yeah. What about for you? I guess for Comic-Con, are you San Diego? Are you planning to go again?
I am planning to go. Now that that Game of Thrones psychology book came out and I have my name on the front, I'm hoping they'll accept me as a professional. So I applied for that. I know people who have started hearing back, but I applied late in the process, so I'll probably be one of the last people to hear. Here's hoping for that. Nice thing about that is that it's a three-year – it's good for 3 years, whereas the press one is only good for two. And the press application, which is usually in December, hasn't happened yet. So hopefully I'll hear about Pro before that even comes in, because last year they sort of overlapped and I had to apply for both. And then only end up getting one. But, you know, if you get one, you don't want to have to worry. You don't need to, you shouldn't have to worry about applying for the other one, because it's a process filling out that application.
It is. I mean, they want the records of like when you released the whatever podcast or media you've done. And like, it's quite thorough. And I'm glad that we did it in the past and got it. But they're very particular about it.
Yeah.
But is there any other benefits you get as professional then, or is just pretty much equal to?
I think it's equal. The press is actually a little better when you get into the halls, because at the front of every hall, like the major ones, like Hall H and different things, there are a few rows of seats in the very front that are for press. And so it doesn't help you get into it, but if you do, you have those seats available if there's any open spots. It doesn't guarantee you one of those seats, but if there's any open, you can take them.
Interesting.
So the professional, I think it's just they like having you there because you're somebody in the community, you know?
I've always had press badge, but if I go this year, it'll be just to go as a panelist again. So that'll be kind of interesting to get it.
Mm. Are you planning on going to anything? Comic-Con or?
I thought last year was going to be my swan song for Comic-Con, having gone so many times, because it costs a lot to fly there, but I'm tempted to go again. I'll see. I'm going to apply for a panel again. I mean, because you can still do it even without me. But I don't know. If we get our panel again, which is hopefully a good chance that you liked it, I might go for one more time.
That's it. Yeah, kind of sucks. Yeah, I feel like after it every single year, I'm like, oh, I'm not doing next year. And then a couple months go by, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
Are you not doing WonderCon then?
I probably will do WonderCon. I haven't really looked at their page if they're like accepting anything, or maybe try to get a panel for that. But the deal is WonderCon and Comic-Con are owned by the same umbrella company. So if you get press or professional with one, you get it for the other.
Interesting. Yeah.
All right. So we did a couple chapters this week. We are back to our longest running chapter reread of A Storm of Swords. We have, what do we have? Bran 3 and John. Well, I don't even know what number John it is.
Yeah.
John 5.
It's and really interesting because these two chapters overlap with each other, the characters and the timeline. So they really are meant to be read together.
Mm-hmm. So in the first chapter, in the Bran one, it is the chapter where they come across the tower in that forgotten city up in the Gift. Or the abandoned town up in the Gift. And there is the Queen's Crown, I believe.
Yep.
Excuse me, tower in the lake. I guess it's a lake in the pond. Yeah. I'm not quite sure how big that body of water is, but it is in there. And it's, they go up into the tower and they see a figure in the town, and then they see more figures, and sort of Hodor is yelling and Bran wargs into Hodor to get him quiet down. And I believe this is the first time that we have Bran warging into Hodor. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I forgot. I thought we had a term for it. It's like harging or something. It's skin changing into a person.
Hodoring? Yeah. So honestly, I really love this chapter. It was a very memorable one to me. And I remember after my first read of these books, I had an image of them crossing the causeway that's just slightly under the water.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a cool fantasy image in my head. It's such a cool way to keep people away, but if you know it, you know where it is and you can walk it. But honestly, I feel like there wasn't really much in the Bran chapter of importance. There's some history about the Gift and an old Targaryen queen who flew down and stayed there and doubled the size of the Gift for the Night's Watch. But really, the important thing was Bran warging into Hodor, it seemed, and that he has the ability to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it is a short chapter, but it does those two things. It provides the backstory, plus doing that. Like, when they actually see the character there, like they see somebody on a horse, I thought, is that Jon? But I think that was probably the guy that gets caught there.
Yeah, there's it's the old man who's just, I don't know, riding around. I don't know. Does he give a reason why he's riding around? I don't recall.
No, but he has like no reason to expect to run into him, I guess. Yeah. They're pretty far south there.
So I guess we can kind of talk about these two chapters in tandem since they overlap so much.
I think so. Yeah. There's in the first chapter, I did find interesting that they Mirov is really impressed by the height of the tower, and then Jojen's saying, oh, there's trees that are twice as tall. That's like another reason you want to see the neck. It'd be nice to see the neck area, what's going on there. Like They have giant trees.
Giant trees. And those are growing out of, like, the swamp, I guess. Yeah. but it seemed to me like he was saying that, well, we've been higher, but because of these tall trees, you can't really see anything from our, like, castle towers and stuff. Whereas here, there's a tower that's maybe not so high, but there's no real tall trees around it.
Yeah.
So you can see out further. So it makes her feel taller, even though she's been in higher towers before.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just the perspective. When you're the only high point there, it's different than when you're surrounded at the same level.
So it was Queen Alsaine who visited. Good Queen Alsaine, sister and wife of Jaehaerys I and Queen of the Seven Kingdoms. So she was the one who came down here, and she was so in awe of the Night's Watch and what they were doing that she doubled the size of the gift that had been given to them. So,
and it's such a contrast now that, I mean, they barely can even man the wall, and this area is not defended. Everyone's left. This is area. It's like a fallen ruin.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It seems like this town is... This was an awesome little town, but it just got raided so many times, and so many women were stolen by the wildlings. It's kind of sad.
And in the next chapter, John talks about kind of Ned had an idea to maybe try to restock the place with new lords and repopulate. So Ned had plans for the north, but not for winter. They had to get through winter first. That place is not good for winter.
Alisane's dragon was Silverwing. Trying to look up a dragon. That's the description on Tower of Hand.
I'm also trying to remember more about her. I think she had quite an impact. I think.
Oh wait, I got to change my scope. Damn you, Tower of the Hand! Didn't change my scope. Oh, it still says a dragon. Okay, thank you, Tower of the Hand.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, she did convince him to get rid of the lords right to the first night. That was her doing. Which I kind of, it's funny because I was rewatching Braveheart a while back. They kind of have that, like, this first night thing, I think, is pretty much being proven to be a myth.
Like, what, that the Lord of the Kingdom gets to sleep with any wife or
like
something?
In Ice and Fire, it exists, or existed for a time, but in real history, it never really existed. I mean, the Lord could still do it, but it's not like he had, like, he could be like, I have this legal right. He could just do it, nobody could do anything to stop him.
Ah, okay.
It wasn't an official right, he just was powerful. But, like, this is like a doctrine where it's like, oh, it's the first night. It was like a legal doctrine that was accepted here till Alasan overturned it. Well, Roose is complaining about it later. He was like, oh, why did she do that? And we still do it anymore.
Sure, Ramsay will do it.
Yeah.
Sure, see.
Yeah, that's really it for the first chapter. I'm trying to see the thing, but it just, this chapter melds into the other on its own. There's not a lot going on.
Yep. Yeah, so in the other chapter, we have John's perspective, and him and Ygritte are they looking at that tower?
Yeah, they do look at it at some point. They don't actually, I mean, they don't go over there. They don't know the way there.
Yeah. Tell us what's going on in this chapter, I mean.
Yeah, well, in this chapter, John is actually feeling guilty because he wants to kind of like, he's trying to figure out when he can betray the wildlings and get away. But he feels such a connection to them, Ygritte in particular. So he kind of tries to maybe convince her that they're going to lose and they should leave. But he finds out that no, she's a wildling and she's sticking to that cause, and he's going to have to betray her and them eventually, and that's going to be really difficult. And I mean, he does do it here. He gets his chance. I mean, he's put to the test here, actually. It's kind of interesting what would have happened. They say that the Magnar wants John to kill somebody. He doesn't do it, and then he doesn't find out what was going to happen. Maybe they were going to kill him right then and there, but he gets the opportunity to strike when Samarika comes in there, and so he gets away. So we don't know what would happen there.
Hmm.
He takes an arrow, I think. Not to the knee, though. I think
it's higher up. The thigh or something, like somewhere in his leg. Yeah.
He narrowly gets away. And then he recognizes the... I don't know if Shaggy Dog's there as well. You see Summer. Probably both of them are there. And he's like, what happened? Is like Bran still alive inside his wolf? Or what's going on? So they were really close in locations. Too bad they didn't get a chance to meet up there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, another close miss, I feel. Ships in the night type of thing.
There was no opportunity to really meet there when the wildlings were there as well. Like, if they'd run into them with the wildlings, it would be bad for Bran.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Do we know why that old guy was alone in Queen's Crown?
I think he's just the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's too bad. He doesn't talk about why he was there or anything, huh?
Doesn't say that. Just an old guy. I think John's like, oh, he shouldn't deserve to die for putting a fire. Like, he had no idea that he was going to be ambushed like this. Oh, this is actually early in chapter. When John is trying to kind of convince Ygritte to kind of leave, and she's like, no, you're one of us. And yep. She's like, all men must die, Jon Snow. And then says, but first we'll live. I used to think that early on when I was reading the books, that first we live was what Valar Dohaeris meant. Because it was always like Valar Morghulis, Valar Dohaeris. And Valar Morghulis matches this. It's like a universal theme. I used to think Valar Dohaeris was, but first we'll live.
Oh, interesting.
But it's not. I think, I don't know if it's the show that clarified that, or the World of Ice and Fire, or both. I think the show did for sure, that it's all men must serve.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So it's I always thought it was all men must die and all men must win. I guess I never really thought about what it meant.
It's two different universals. I thought it was two opposite. To me, it's like all men must live their lives first and then die. But it's like all men must serve. Okay.
All men must serve some one of the gods or whatever. Because those terms come from Braavos, right?
Yeah, they're used there. I mean, in Valyrian. I don't know if they originated there, but that's what we associate them with. But because all men must die, it's said everywhere else. I thought it's a universal theme. I mean, most cultures would have that idea or something. But I thought then you could just then look at the wildlings and pull out what Valar Dohaeris means. But it's not the case.
Interesting. Valar Morghulis.
Okay, so that was
a common greeting in Braavos, meaning all men must die in High Valyrian. The customary response is Valar Dohaeris, all men must serve. Interesting. I wonder if it's sort of a thing because it's maybe everyone's afraid of the House of Black and White and their ability to kill men that you must serve. It's like saying the same thing. All men must die. All men die, but all men serve, and you're serving the god of death, right?
This could
by
be,
dying.
Exactly. That's why those two fit together, but maybe there's a third one. There's a Valar something, all men must live. And then maybe there's Valar Taxeris, all men must pay taxes. Like this multiple universal there or something.
The universal truths.
Maybe that's what the serve is. You must pay taxes. Because you pay the coin. You pay the coin. It's like you must... You must pay, you give the coin to the, Arya had that coin, right?
I love it. Oh, man, must pay taxes. Valar Tax Harris.
Yeah.
I love it.
Then it talks about Castle Black. John's worried about it because it has no southern defenses. And if he doesn't warn them somehow, they're going to be screwed. And if he didn't go to warn them, they would have been screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he grabs a dude's horse. And he takes off. He's able to get away. Killing foos in his way in the process.
one of the wildlings says he wants to go to see the green men in the Isle of Faces. That's interesting that they know about them that far away.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I guess they must hear about the legend and stuff, because that's probably a story that the children of the forest told. So story's going to be kind of up there in the north, making the rounds or something.
Yeah. I feel like maybe Mance, I mean, not that everyone would have met Mance, obviously, but he knew of things in the south. Maybe his songs kind of rekindled stories of the south. So then it was
true.
Because he knew a lot of it, right? He knew about
Dorne. Oh, yeah. And he's been all over the place. He's probably been to the Isle of Faces for all we know.
Yeah. What is going on there is the question, right? It's
the Isle of Faces?
Yeah, it's just this independent, they don't pay taxes. They break the Valar Taxeris rule.
Who knows? Do you think we're gonna go there at some point?
Yeah. I think we talked about it in the Supreme Court Westeros. How could they even be independent? But I guess if they were really militant and holding on to it, the Riverlands is probably the most likely place it would be, because the Riverlands are usually screwed over anyways. They don't really have time to go conquer a little island there.
Maybe the people are just afraid there, afraid of going there. The legends.
Yeah.
As they go bump in the night. Does John recognize Summer?
He does. I think he first, he mistakes him to be somebody else, but then yeah, he does recognize Summer. He's trying to think what happened to Bran.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. He's great. No, he thought he was Grey Wind initially, I think. He's like, oh, it was Rob back.
But, oh, he did.
Yeah. No. He thought it was Ghost. Oops. No, he thought it was Ghost because he wasn't sure what Ghost was. And then he's like, no, Grey. He's Grey. Grey. But I mean, I guess Grey is closer to the Summer, right?
Yeah.
But I thought Shaggy. You think Shaggy Dog would be there as well?
It's also nighttime, so colors are a little hard to distinguish.
All right. What am I saying? There's no Shaggy Dog here.
Yeah, I do not think there's any Shaggy Dog. I thought around. Twice. He is nowhere there. I mean, I was like, "What are you talking about?"
By the way, there's no way Shaggy Dog could be here. Just
I mean, realize the error of his ways, and
was it? We don't know if it was Ygritte's arrow that actually hit him. He was trying to figure it out, but he didn't say.
Yeah. Do we get a moment in the chapter? I don't recall if she is firing arrows.
Just there's not enough. It doesn't show that. It's just so fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely a little different from the show when she plugs like three arrows in his back or something.
Yeah. Well, then she also very conveniently catches up to him. They wanted to have that scene. It's like, yeah, he runs away on a horse and somehow she catches up when he's at the bar.
Yeah.
Well, there's the ice dragon. It's a constellation that he looks at.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The ice dragon. Man, if there really is an ice dragon, that's just crazy.
Even if there is an ice dragon, that doesn't mean the ice dragon's in the same world. It's not. It's not in the same world. It's just a marketing trick. Don't fall for it.
Oh, George.
Yeah. Oh, no, but he does think that Rob might have returned north at some point, I'm seeing here. He's trying to think. But I guess it must be a future chapter when he thinks back on what happened here. Because he's not mentioning Bran here. Although he does also look at the island, I think. He's like, how are we going to get over? I think, yeah. He thinks about swimming over there. And Ygritte's like, oh, we're not going to swim over there.
Yeah, what are you, crazy?
Yeah. Oh, and if he swam over there, they wouldn't let him go out there probably, though. Then he could have escaped.
When Bran and his company were walking in it and they were like chest deep, everybody but Hodor, I was like, damn, that's going to be so cold. And then they don't light a fire. I was like, dear God.
I was thinking how cold it is right now. I guess it's middle of day, but still.
Yeah. They are.
And they hear Hodor, I think. Somebody's like, they thought they heard something coming from the island.
Yeah.
Shouting.
I definitely think so. Because they think about going over there. And isn't that when John takes off?
Well, no, then they get called in to see what's going on. It's more backstory here about Allison's trip up there where they brought six dragons and half the court.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, what was so special about this place?
Well, she just came up to this place and stopped by here. I think she got bored. It says she was bored at what was going on in Winterfell, so she flew around here.
She just chose this at random? There wasn't any particular reason?
I think it was just at random.
That's cool. And then they made the top of the tower gold for her. And
it's like when you go on the highway and you stop and it's like, oh, this is a famous place because something happened here. It's just by chance that she...
Can you imagine just chilling in some random freaking town in the middle of nowhere? And, oh, hey, look, the queen and six dragons. Oh, great.
I think she just probably went on her own dragon when she went up here, but still, even any dragon coming here is going to be a shock.
Damn.
I think that's the trip where people were like, oh, there was a dragon egg under Winterfell. One of those dragons laid an egg under Winterfell. That's the source of when it could have happened.
Okay.
If it's fire dragon.
What did he do? Did he burrow under Winterfell?
Yeah, because of the hot... Like the hot waters, whatever the hot.
Oh, dove into the springs and popped one out. Water birth. Yeah.
They like to go there. Well, no, I think it was just eggs still. I don't know. Preserved the egg in there.
She got to pop that egg out, you know. Unless somebody swam down there with an egg.
All right. So then, see, this is when Jolly makes his move. He cuts down a few of the people. Gets on the horse.
Cuts down his new friends.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him and I don't feel bad for him because he put himself in the situation, but he's doing it for his team. And he may make some tough choices. Yeah. Damn.
Did he cut down Big Boil? I'm trying to see if he cut down Big Boil.
He killed Fen. Oh, no, that's Summer. Summer killed Fen and Del. He kills Bodger. Yeah. All his friends with the great names, Bodger, Hempen, Dan, Dell, Hank the Helm, Toefinger, Big Boyle, Stone Thumbs. Great names, guys. Great names.
I'm just sending you the art that we have for this.
You always do this, yeah. I mean. You're like, let's look at art and let's talk about it that nobody listening to us can see.
Well, they can. If you go to our DeviantArt website, you can take a look at. This is actually pretty good. I wonder if this was drawn by the same artist. It is. That's good for both chapters, and showing the overlap there. Because one is from the tower perspective, and the other one's like, oh, you can hear Hodor coming.
Speaking of this art, I got to finish. Am I the last one to draw a chapter?
No, all four of us are the last ones to draw chapters for Storm of Swords. Everything else has been drawn. It's just us left.
Okay.
So if we can get it drawn, we can get it done. Get it to George sometime.
The third Shit's art getting book. Real out there.
Yeah. We got to get it done. Like, we're there.
We can get it to George. Does George have our Clash of Kings?
He does, because you gave him Game of Thrones initially, and then Mimi gave him Clash of Kings at 2014 Comic-Con. The first meeting we had there. The one where we had to keep going and get the lottery ticket. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, and then I cheated.
Quote cheated.
I was looking the guy in the eye.
Yeah,
and so I just
bored,
I,
right? Like,
and so I just looked in the bag and I went, there's one. And then I gave it
like
to me.
Charlie
and
the Chocolate Factory, the Golden Tip. And I got mine later in the week, and it was like my third try going through, and I just knew I was going to get it. I think it was like the last ticket.
Jesus. I got the last ticket.
It worked out, though.
It did. Awesome. So back to the chapter. Anything else in this one, good sir?
No, I don't see anything else. I want to see if Tower of the Hand mentions anything missed.
And then, of course, he heads off. He takes the horse and he heads off towards Castle Black. Or that's where he heads with the horse.
He also, like, pushes the arrow out, too, which is, like, brutal. And then still makes it out there. Like, pretty tough of him to do that.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to think, like, how did I even do this? Like, I just jumped on a horse. No saddle, no stirrups. Sword in one hand. But he just, like, did it instantly. Well, actually, that was kind of this is a stretch. But, you know, John's mother was a good horse rider. I was like, oh, maybe he inherited some of that. Because Lyanna is like a noted good horse rider.
This isn't something I talk about in the chapter. This is just you.
No, this is just yet more evidence of what's obvious, right?
Yeah, that's a bit.
I'm trying to remember like how much, like, if he's been described to be like a really good rider or not. I think he's a decent rider. He had training, but she herself was quite good.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, that's all that I see here. I mean, the Tower of the Hand is pretty scant as well. There's just not a lot in these.
We get John's escape, and we get Bran warging into Hodor, so which is going to be important in the future, we would think.
Yeah, and I think he feel he's kind of like ashamed of what he does here. He kind of tries to hide it, I think.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what. What did I do?
It scared him.
What happened? Yeah. Bran, what did you do? Nothing. Bran shook his head. I don't know. But he did. I reached for him the way I reached for Summer. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking to himself, I reached for him the way I reached for Summer. He had been Hodor for half a heartbeat. It scared him. So he doesn't say that out loud to everybody. He just says nothing. I don't know. That's what he says out loud. And then to himself, he admits that he reached for him and he was Hodor for a second.
And then Jojen said, I thought I saw a man pointing at the tower. I wonder if that was actually John or just one of the Thans that was pointing.
It's got to be one of the Thans. I'm sure they heard something, right? Like, hey,
yeah.
But John's the one
John
who
was
heard.
Also looked at as well. I mean, it could have been John pointing at the tower while he was. But it doesn't say that he pointed.
He's very just, true.
I just thought it'd be cool if it was John. That Jojen saw John.
He's pointing. And Jojen's like, no, we can't meet with them. No. What are you guys, crazy? That would be too good. Be lots of problems if that happened.
Well, that's all we have for the chapters. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we want to discuss. This is our quick record.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a half an hour episode.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
They're selling this in dollar stores now.
The book? Crazy.
Yeah, the book. I got it. Oh, no, it's $3. I got it at a dollar store, which is good because I can write all over it. I don't care now.
Wait. You had to – something at a dollar store was $3? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but, no, our dollar stores, well, some of them go over a dollar.
Oh, well, that's false advertising right there.
No, it's just $3 $1.
It's $3 multiple $1.
It's a multiple of a dollar store.
They cut the book into thirds and then they sell it. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
Valor Taxeris, remember? They got a fit.
It's funny. I was at work and I was reading that and my friends were like, oh, what's that? And I was like, do you watch Game of Thrones? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, this is the third book. And they're like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, this is the book where the mountain smashes in the Red Viper's skull. The Red Wedding happens. Joffrey dies. You've got the war at the wall with the wildlings. And they're like, that all happens in one book?
Yeah, it was one epic book. I mean, this is such a good read. I mean, so were the other first books as well. But I remember this book in particular just being such a good read. And I guess, yeah, let me pose a hypothetical for you then. Like, because we talked about earlier about Winds of Winter taking a while. In some ways, if George had, it almost, like, if George was going to stop now, in some ways it would have been best if he had quit at A Storm of Swords, because that was such a high. I mean, on the other hand, like, the other books really filled out the world, so people like us like the background and stuff like that. But he could have just stopped at A Storm of Swords.
No, we couldn't have. No, man, there's so much left there. Like, you want Tyrion to just get on a boat and be done with him.
Yeah.
You want the Red Wedding be the last thing that happens to the Starks.
This lays the kind of like the roots for what's going to happen later, and the people would have been like, well, let's try to predict what would have happened later. Like, even if there were just being even just three books, it still would have been a masterpiece. Like, people still would have enjoyed it. And not all works have to be a complete thing to be enjoyed.
Ugh, no, you need more. You need the story told.
Yeah, but the last two books really, the problem is the last two books, they didn't really push the plot forward that much. The Dance of Dragons overlap, so that's the thing too. But like, not much has happened since the book came out.
Yeah, but you gotta move the pieces into place. Like, I feel like the next book is just gonna have all these battles, like, right from the beginning.
Yeah, big battles at the start of the next book. Yeah, I have high hopes for the next book.
Oh man, we've all had high hopes for each one, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's I guess we're talking in retrospect, and we haven't talked about it as a whole book. I really liked the northern sections of Dance, like the north, the story for the north. I thought it was as good as any book, and it was good world building, so that was good. But we can't have another Dance coming forward, like a third
third world building. Would you quit if another book like Dance came out? Would you quit?
No, I wouldn't quit. I keep reading it, but I would quit defending it. That's the difference. I'd be like, yeah, okay, three world building books in a row.
I'm loving it, you know. It's like when you love something, you just like to go to that universe and just spend time there. Like,
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. And I'm just doing Game of Thrones panels. Like, I mean, we call it Game of Thrones, really Isenfire, because how much can you talk about the show?
Yeah,
there's nothing going on. It's really you're talking about Isenfire, but just whatever convention I go to, it's like, well, I might as well just do a panel there. I know it. And people are there and they're interested. Like, they
are. They want to talk about it. They want,
yeah.
They want it. They want more stuff. I feel like the show's such a hit, but there's so little.
Yeah, the show made it pop culture, like, but so little representation. To talk about it. Yeah. Like, once, who's like really, there's not much to talk about in the show just by itself now. It's people launch from it into the books. And then you have a lot to talk about.
There's tons of after shows and stuff, but I don't feel like there's much representation at, like, conventions and things.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much cosplay and there's so much items for sale, Game of Thrones related, and arts and crafts and different things. But there's never much representation from, like, HBO there about these things, it feels like. Like, I went to maybe like a month ago, maybe a little less, for the season 6 Blu-ray release of Game of Thrones over here at Hollywood and Highland, which is like a mile from my house. Yep. They had this whole area set up with like five different, buildings that represented five different areas of the show. And they had stuff from the show and it, like props and costumes. And at each place they had, like green screen things where you could take pictures, and like, I have a picture of me like holding a door, and I have a picture of me getting lit on fire like Daenerys and different things. And there was like a VR experience. And I'm like, why doesn't Game of Thrones bring these to any of the conventions? Like, people would go crazy for this stuff at like Comic-Con and different things.
Hmm. Well, Comic-Con has a bit of it with that room, right? The one you have to wait hours and hours to get in. But
yeah, that's true. They do have that, but that's not even, yeah, that's outside. They
could have more, that, I think.
This kind of blew that out of the water, I feel like. There was so much more going on at this place than I've seen at those before. I don't know. I just feel like they could do more with the show. And it's not at a lot of smaller cons. Like, I go to Stanley Comic-Con here in Los Angeles, and there isn't anything. And I went to WonderCon. There isn't anything. One year at WonderCon, they had a booth where you could digitally have your head taken off and put on a spike. And that was awesome. And then the next year and the year after, there was just nothing. There was like nothing Game of Thrones there. It's like, what's going on? Like, your fans are rabid. They're looking for stuff. That's why I feel bad going as press to a lot of these places, because there's nothing to, like, if we can't get into the panel, which is, you know, sleeping out overnight on the sidewalk, if you can't get into it, there's nothing really Game of Thrones there.
Yeah.
Besides that exhibition hall thing. But,
There isn't. There's like, until we provided our panel there as well, that was kind of filling the void.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people love it. People want to go to things about it. Like, I did at WonderCon, I did a panel with Travis Langley, the author and editor of Game of Thrones Psychology. Hmm. And at WonderCon, and there were tons of people there, and they loved it. They just want to talk about it. And I was on the panel with some very smart people, doctors, and they were talking about different problems that these characters have, and so it's very little that I could actually contribute to, because I wrote the foreword, and I'm not a doctor. I don't know much about a lot of these mental problems and different things, but people loved it. And then as soon as questions came up, they just wanted to be like, who do you think's sitting on the throne at the end? Like, they just wanted to talk about the show and how much and what's going on and predictions and different things. And I just feel like HBO is kind of missing opportunity to connect with a lot of the fans, but maybe they don't need to because it's so huge. Hmm. But anywho, sorry, that was kind of a little rant there.
It's good. I mean, we have the chance to talk about these things in a shorter episode. So.
Hmm.
I do want to, I guess, give a shout out as we're kind of wrapping up, is we get a lot of applications for guest hosting. I'm guest hosting like audio clips and things from time to time. It's hard to schedule. I mean, even it's hard for us to do it, but I like to play them at the end. So I might play a couple at the end of this episode. Somebody also named Norman Hiddle sent us some music from his band, Photovoltaic. So that in there. But
awesome.
We appreciate it, and it's good. It's just difficult to schedule people in when it's difficult for even us to schedule. Like, we have we usually draw upon VOK because they're usually. We have experience from people in VOK, and they're online, and it's easy to get them.
Mm.
To get people we've never met before is more difficult to get them scheduled, especially like with the time zones.
Yeah, we have such a hard time with just the four of us trying to figure shit out. Like, as you can tell, it's just Amin and I. I don't think Ashley has a computer anymore, and Mimi has an heir to the throne now.
Yeah.
So, gets crazy, but hey, life. But definitely we do want hosts. I mean, every time we sign on here, we'd love to get somebody. It is definitely just scheduling stuff.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this chapter recap review, The Storm of Swords. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook at A Podcast of Ice and Fire. Join the forums. Conversations are always raging. And until next time.
See you next time. If you get 5K, look how many items can you get at a dollar store. You get 5,000 items.
not at your dollar store.
No, not at our dollar store.
You can only get a third of that.
Hey guys, my name is Kevin, also known as Gaiden on the forums. I got into the series after watching the first season of A Game of Thrones on HBO. After that, I went out and picked up the first book, and I've been hooked ever since. I believe I started listening to you guys' podcast maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And I guess that leads me into why I want to be on the show. After listening to you guys debate for so many years, I would love the opportunity to talk about the show with you. If you would have me on the show, you know, just give me a call and let me know. Thanks, and I'll keep listening.
My name's Jerry, and I first heard of the books around 2002, maybe 2003, when I was on a fantasy binge, and I had a friend whose taste that I trusted recommend to me Song of Ice and Fire, so I went and picked up a Game of Thrones, but it actually wasn't until a year or two later that I actually read through a Game of Thrones, so obviously then I really liked it, and went in. Picked up a Clash of Kings, and over the next few years, eventually read through all the material. Yeah, I'm a, kind of a slow reader there. So a couple of years ago, when Game of Thrones popularity really started to get on out of control, I decided to go back and reread all the books, and found like that there was so much going on that I missed in previous reads. And after finding this out, I had to see if other people were talking about this stuff, and I saw that there was a huge Song of Ice and Fire community, so I went and searched out for podcasts and YouTube videos, see if people were talking about it, and that's how I came across a podcast of Ice and Fire. I also came across things like History of Westeros and other YouTube channels. Eventually, over time, I listened through, I think, all of your guys' episodes, and you all seem like awesome people to talk about it with. So I think it would be great to be able to guest sometime on any type of episode, show review or reread, whatever y'all want. I've gotten the chance to do it a few times on some other YouTube channels, so hopefully someday I can guest here too. Anyways, thanks.
Greetings, Podcast of Ice and Fire. My name's Norman. I'm with the indie electronic rock band Hydrogen Skyline. I came across your podcast and noticed you guys allow guest appearances, and I was submitting myself to hopefully be a part of one of your episodes in the future. I've read through A Song of Ice and Fire 2 times now, and I'm currently on my 4th go-through of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms while leafing through the World of Westeros illustrated book. Really, what I love about A Song of Ice and Fire as a series is just the historical fiction aspect of it, the reality that's in it, just low magic, not a high fantasy setting. It's just very realistic, medieval plotting and real character depth, and just really fascinating how much effort and thought has gone into it. With A Song of Ice and Fire, my favorite character right now is Sandor Clegane, closely followed by probably Jaime Lannister. With Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, one of my favorite characters is Sir Uther Underleaf, for how brief he's in there, but just such clever writing and a lot of psychology put into these characters that I really, really enjoy them. A reason I'd like to be on your podcast is I just really enjoy chatting about the undercurrents and the subplots that are going on in the stories. My brother Mark is in my band with me, and he watches A Game of Thrones through HBO, the series. So he's just got a very surface idea of everything, and because of the different canons between the show and the books, we really can't ever have a good conversation about it. So, you know, I've been noticing your podcast and some others that just really go into depth, really explore some of the conspiracies and the possible theories of the Winds of Winter and things that'll be coming up. So just really interested in chatting about it and having a good time. So yeah, thanks for the time. Have a good one.